Last time on Jonathan Park and the Blazing Star.
My name is Jonathan Park, so I would like to welcome all of you to this final training session for the Brennan Museum of Creation.
Now, most of you know that since today is Tuesday, we have just 4 more days until the grand opening on Saturday.
Hello, this is Dr. Kendall Park with the Brennan Museum of Creation.
This is Scott from the Petrified National Forest. I was just calling to let you know that you've been granted your permit, but you need to pick up your specimens within the next 72 hours.
Hey, Kendall, what was that about?
About 3 months ago, I submitted a research proposal to the Petrified Forest in Arizona. I guess they accepted my proposal, and that was a call to let me know they just granted a collection permit so I can go out there and gather some of the petrified wood from the forest.
As Kendall and I were talking, we think that both the Parks and Brennan should head out to the Petrified Forest.
This close to the grand opening?
Jim, it sounds crazy, but I think you're right. We've pretty much got everything done.
That's true. It's all under control. Benjamin and I could hold down the fort while you're gone. Welcome to Brennan Ranch. My name's Nick.
My name's Crystal Brown, and I'm with an environmental concerns group called Green New Mexico. You have a plant known as the Shama Blazing Star growing on your property.
Oh, my. What exactly does that mean?
This entire operation will need to be shut down for its protection.
The Petrified Forest is so interesting.
Yeah.
We'll do the paperwork, load the petrified wood, and be on our way.
What's that? The sheriff's car.
And they're coming this way.
Yesterday we discovered that a large portion of petrified wood had been taken from the park.
And we have an eyewitness that says she saw this man right here taking it.
What?
Me? Sir, please come with us. Let's head down to the park headquarters.
I can't believe they just took Dad away like some criminal or something.
Oh, so what are we gonna do now?
I'm not sure.
What a frustrating couple of days. We found out that our museum may be shut down and now they've taken Kendall away.
I know one thing. Unless we straighten out this mess with Kendall and get home, we're gonna completely miss the grand opening.
We're losing everything we've worked for all these years.
And now, part 2 of Jonathan Park and the Blazing Star.
Angela, it seems like we've been waiting forever in this room. How long have we been here?
Oh, it's been about 3 hours since they first brought us down to park headquarters, Kendall.
Officer, why are we waiting?
My partner went with your friend to have a look at your motel rooms in Holbrook.
I think it's cool that Dad gets to ride in the sheriff's car.
Ryan, I don't think Dad is having a really good time right now.
I think you're right, Jesse. So what happens next, officer?
Well, Martha, it was Martha, wasn't it?
Yes.
We've searched your vehicles and didn't find any evidence that you had transported petrified wood. Since your husband volunteered to allow us to search your rooms, we'll have to let you go if we don't find anything there.
Hey, guys, look! Here they come!
Oh, Jonathan's right! Here comes Jim and the other sheriff!
Finally!
Jim, you're back.
Yep. Hello, everyone.
Dad!
Oh, hey!
What'd you find?
Nothing. There wasn't any sign of any type of petrified wood in either of their two rooms.
Okay, I guess you can go, folks.
Oh, yes!
That's great!
Sorry for the inconvenience, but like we've said, there was a woman who talked to a man who fits your description perfectly. And she said that she saw the guy loading a bunch of wood into his truck and taking off with it.
She said that he mentioned that he was using it for some sort of religious reasons, and that's what you're claiming as well.
Well, it's not really religious reasons.
You said you were putting it in a religious museum, right?
It's a creation museum, really. It's not a religious...
You can understand the confusion.
We can contact you at the motel or on the cell number you gave us, right?
We were going to check out and head home.
I'm going to ask you not to leave this area.
What? But we're having our museum's grand opening tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, but we need you to stay in Holbrook until we clear this matter up.
No.
I can't believe it.
We can't miss it.
No. So what are we going to do now?
I'm hungry.
Okay, Ryan. We'll eat soon.
Why don't we head back into Holbrook and just eat a late lunch at that little diner?
I agree. I think it would give us a needed break.
Yeah.
We can talk about what we're going to do over lunch.
Well, Benjamin, that's a mighty fine fence you built there.
Oh, thanks, Nick. It was a group effort. Yeah. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, what do you think, Crystal? Did we build it like you wanted?
Yeah, it looks okay. Are you sure it's strong enough to protect it?
We built this fence so strong, it could withstand a stampede from a group of...
Snails!
Like Mike says.
Eddie, now Mike's finishing your goofy lines.
Whoa, Dad's right. You feeling okay there, Mike?
Timmy... Am I starting to think like Eddie?
I've trained you well, Mark.
You guys have been awfully kind to comply with our request to protect the Shama Blazing Star.
We want to do what's right.
Oh, we've just been praying that it doesn't shut down our museum.
The grand opening is tomorrow.
Hopefully you'll hear from the state sometime today. I told them to make it a priority.
Hey, guys!
Hey, there, Zach. What's up?
You're not going to believe this. I just got a call from Jim. They're calling from some diner in Holbrook.
Weren't they supposed to be on their way home by now?
Yeah, well, I guess they ran into some trouble. The sheriff's office is trying to clear up some kind of deal with some missing petrified wood, and they've asked them to stay in town until the whole thing's cleared up.
What?
It sounds like they're not going to make it for tomorrow's celebration.
Oh, that's terrible. We need to pray.
Yes, let's do that right now. And then we need to come up with a plan B in case they don't make it.
Well, weren't Kendall and Jim going to make presentations?
Yes, and without Martha and Angela here, I don't know how we're going to pull this off. There may be thousands of people here tomorrow with all the advertising we've done.
Well, guys, I'd better be on my way. Good luck. I hope everything works out for you.
Yeah, the Lord's will be done.
Ryan, are you going to finish up the rest of that sandwich?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, here comes Jim.
Oh. Hey, what's the news, Jim?
Nothing new, really. I got a hold of Zach, and he said they're still waiting to hear back about what's going to happen with the rare plant.
We've got to get back home for tomorrow's grand opening.
Zach seemed to be a little nervous that they're going to have to do it without us.
Well, remember, because of that plant, they may have to call it off anyway.
You know, this could really be discouraging if we didn't serve the creator of the universe.
Kendall's right. God is still in control here. Mm-hmm. And it's his museum anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. That is so right, Katie. Sometimes we don't understand why he lets things go wrong.
But if this is truly his plan, which we believe it is, then we need to see what he's trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's like our family devotion that we had in the motel room this morning.
Oh, yeah, from Romans, right?
Yeah, Kendall, remember you read from Romans 5,
that's
1
right.
through 5.
Mm-hmm.
It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us.
This reminds us that we just have to trust Him. Mm-hmm. He'll accomplish His plan.
Yes, He will.
We just have to rest in His peace about this whole thing.
I think we were just going to make a real quick trip out here to the Petrified Forest to get some samples to put on display.
Kendall, that Petrified Wood display would be a powerful addition to the museum.
Yeah. Dad, I've learned so much myself just since we've been here.
It's been fun.
Yes, it's shown me that there's even more evidence for the flood.
Well, this isn't the only place that you'll find petrified wood.
Well, like at Yellowstone National Park.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, at Yellowstone, we found a place in which there are layers of upright petrified trees on top of others.
Layers on top of layers?
Yes, Katie. There's a layer that contains upright petrified trees and then another layer below that. As a matter of fact, there seems to be 50 distinct levels of these logs.
Whoa.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. And for a very long time, evolutionists have interpreted the site to mean that one forest grew, died out, was buried with more sediment, and then another forest grew on top of the old one, and that had happened many different times.
Wouldn't that take a very long time?
Yes, it would, Ryan. Hundreds of thousands of years.
So what really happened?
Oh, Kendall, tell him about Mount St. Helens.
Oh, good idea, Angela. Well, on May 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington erupted with a huge steam explosion, which caused a massive landslide. It caused a giant wave over 860 feet high from the lake on the northern side of the volcano. There were a million logs, all deposited in a 3-square-mile area.
Didn't that pick up many of those trees and dump them into Spirit Lake?
Yes, and that's when creation geologists who were studying them noticed something very fascinating.
What, Dr. Park?
Well, as they did research there, they noticed that many of the logs were floating at first, and then, slowly, one end of the tree would become waterlogged and start to sink to the bottom in an upright position. Then, silt would continue to enter the lake, burying the bottom of the log. Pretty soon, another log would sink down in an upright position. Again, the silt on the bottom of the lake would continue to build up around it.
Didn't different types of trees sink at different times?
Yes, the noble firs sank first. As a matter of fact, in about 2 years, they had all sunk to the bottom. Next, trees like silver fir and hemlocks began to sink, followed by Douglas firs. Now, tell me, if we let this go on, what would it eventually look like?
Like one forest grew on top of another.
Oh, just like the trees at Yellowstone.
Yes, just like at Yellowstone. Now, the logs at Mount St. Helens were deposited by a catastrophic event that uprooted them and thrust them right into the water. Now, could it be that the huge petrified forests we see at Yellowstone were from the worldwide flood uprooting those logs and then eventually depositing them like we see going on at Spirit Lake?
Sure. Hey, that's great. No wonder Nick was so excited about the petrified display in our museum.
Yeah.
Now, one last thing. Jonathan, do you remember how the logs in petrified forests didn't have any roots or bark?
Yeah. You said that was evidence that they were uprooted somewhere else and deposited by a flood.
Well, most of the trees at Mount St. Helens don't have any either. And it's the same story for the petrified forest at Yellowstone.
That's really cool, Dad.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's get these tools picked up.
Well, I think we built a pretty nice little fence around that thing.
So, this is the rare Shama Blazing Star.
I think we should call it the Falling Star. It landed right here and crushed all our dreams of opening our museum.
It is very pretty.
And very rare.
And I think I know why it's so special.
Why is that, Eddie?
Its roots must have some powerful suction ability.
Eddie, what are you talking about?
Well, look, see how all around it the dirt has sunken down? Those roots must be sucking soil right up into the plant.
Eddie, that's what happens when you first plant something. The dirt settles and sinks a little.
Look, there's still some loose dirt piled right here.
Somebody planted this flower!
It didn't actually grow here.
Oh, wow, this is big. If we're right...
Come on, let's go tell Mr. Williams.
Would you like a little more coffee?
Sure. I think someday we'll look back at this and laugh.
Well, I've learned a lot of new evidence for the flood.
Oh.
What?
That just reminded me. There was something else I wanted to do, but with everything, I think I better just let it go.
What's that, Kendall?
Well, there are some fossilized beehives out at the park I wanted to check out.
Beehives?
Yeah, they found some fossilized beehives that seemed to be a bit of a problem for the evolutionary timeline.
Well, that sounds interesting.
It is. Now, evolutionists believe that flowering plants evolved about 140 million years ago.
All right.
However, a few years back, several bee nests were discovered fossilized in with the supposedly 220 million year old trees in the petrified forest.
I don't get it.
Well, Ryan, what do bees eat to survive?
They eat pollen from flowers?
Bees need flowers to live. But how long ago did I say evolutionists believe flowers evolved?
Well, you said about 140 million years ago.
But these beehives were found in logs that were supposedly 220 million years old.
Wait, let me get this straight. That would mean that bees would have had to survive without food for 80 million years?
Exactly.
So how do evolutionists deal with this?
Many are now considering pushing back their dates for the evolution of flowering plants, and others are saying that bees could survive without flowers.
Isn't that very unlikely?
Yes, and even worse, bees are designed to suck pollen from flowers. But if you believe in evolution, you would say that bees would have had to evolve their special pollen-collecting design before flowers even existed. What a problem for natural selection. To adapt to something 80 million years before it even existed.
Well, I guess that really came back to sting them.
Oh. Hey, I just thought of something else.
Well, what would that be, honey?
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm serious. I mean, this project is so important. We don't have time for this.
With all the problems we're having, we're going to miss our grand opening, aren't we?
You may be right, Katie.
Oh, I can't believe it. All our work to get ready, and now we won't even be there.
All right. Yes, that's great. Oh, that is wonderful news. Thank you.
I'm guessing that phone call went well.
It was the state, right?
Yes. I called them to tell them we have good reason to believe that the Shama Blazing Star was purposely transplanted onto our property.
What'd they say?
Well, before we started construction, we filed an environmental impact report with the county planning department. And they already signed off before we were allowed to build.
So what's that mean?
Timmy, that means that even if we found a Shama Blazing Star being eaten by a harp seal, riding on a unicorn with a spotted owl on its back, we could open our doors tomorrow.
Huh?
Secondly, did you know that the Shama Blazing Star isn't even on the legally protected list?
What?
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
Though it's very rare, there's no legal protection for it.
So we can open the museum?
Yes, sir.
Oh!
May I take your place?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Hello, this is Dr. Kendall Park.
Dr. Park, this is Sheriff Montell. I was just calling to let you know that you are free to go.
What?
We found a man who matched your description who has confessed to taking the petrified wood. So you no longer need to stay in the area.
That's great.
Sorry for the inconvenience. Hope you make it back to your grand opening, okay?
Okay, bye.
Hey, Kendall, what was that about?
It was great news. We just got approved,
hey,
so we can start our ride back to Abiquiu.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Kendall, What's the plan?
Jim, since we're in a hurry, if you guys can check in with the park office, I think Jonathan and I are going to hike up to the specimens that we want to take home. We'll meet you up there with the ranger.
That sounds good to me.
Now listen, let's make this quick so we can start our drive back to Abiquiu.
Hello?
Hello, Nick. This is Crystal Brown.
Well, hello there.
I just heard what happened.
Which part?
All of it. And that the Shamo Blazing Star isn't registered as an endangered species.
No, it's not.
But it still deserves to be protected.
As Christians, we believe that we're here to be stewards of what he has made, but not to worship it. You see, Crystal, that flower is just a flower. A beautiful part of God's creation, but it's not a person like you. Made in God's very own image, that's what he truly cares about. Crystal, he wants your heart.
Okay.
He died on the cross to save people like me and you. In the Bible it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1:12. Crystal, he wants you to be his child.
What about the plant?
Crystal, since that flower is such a great example of God's beauty, and since it is so rare, we've decided to continue to protect it right where it is.
Hey, that's great.
Well, I better go. We've got a lot to do before the grand opening.
Nick, wait. Before you go, I guess I want to say that I'm sorry for the trouble that my group's caused you guys.
Crystal, it's all right.
One last thing. That flower was intentionally planted on your property. I followed up on that original call we received. It came from two of your neighbors. It turns out that they don't want to see an increase of traffic through Abiquiu, so they planted that flower in a last-ditch attempt to shut you down.
No way!
Yeah. Kind of crazy, huh? I'm sorry.
Well, we all make mistakes. That's why we need forgiveness.
Well, I've got to go. We just got word that another housing developer's coming to town. I'll see you.
Bye, Crystal.
Well, Dad, here's the logs that you wanted to take back with us.
And those are them.
So what were you looking at?
Oh, Jonathan, I was just taking one last look around this place. Man, whenever I'm here, I'm just in awe.
Dad, how many did you say were buried underneath?
Well, Jonathan, scientists believe that at the southern end of the park, there are petrified trees buried 10 feet deep. But at the northern end, those trees are buried as deep as 300 feet. Like I said, there's over 1 million.
But, Dad, if it really was the flood that buried all these logs, wouldn't it have buried other things here as well?
It did.
Like what?
Jonathan, we found tens of thousands of fossils here, like amphibians, reptiles, and phytosaurs, coelophysis, and many others.
Coelophysis? That's the dinosaur we found on the Brennan Ranch.
Exactly. Now, they also found lots of plants like ferns, cycads, and horsetails. There's about 40 different types of plants that have been discovered in the park, and many of these plants are believed to come from a very tropical climate.
Here? But it kind of looks like a mini desert.
Yes, Jonathan, but remember that evolutionists believe this park is a leftover from the so-called Triassic period. They believe 225 million years ago that this was a very jungle-like area, with lots of plants, animals, and water.
And that's based on discoveries right here at this site?
Mostly. They look at all these logs and believe that forests used to grow here. The plants speak of a lush era, and with all these various animal fossils, it indicates it was teeming with life.
That could make sense.
Yes, it could, but remember all the things we learned about the logs to show that they were washed into this place?
Uh-huh.
Well, is the same thing true for all the other plant and animal fossils we find here? Did those plants grow right here, or did they grow in a world with a mild climate that existed before the great flood that ripped them up and deposited them here?
So how do we know for sure which one is right?
Here we have a site in which there is great evidence of several types of animals, plants, and forests all mixed together and deposited by water. We can come up with two stories based on the same evidence, but I think the flood model best fits the facts.
That definitely seems like evidence for Noah's flood.
I agree. Okay, Jonathan, let's get these samples ready to be loaded, and then we've got to get back home for tomorrow's grand opening.
I'm with you.
Wow! There's a ton of people here!
How exciting!
Please, everyone, if you can please just quiet down, we'd like to start.
What a turnout!
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Dr. Kendall Park, Vice President and the Director of Scientific Research here at the Brennan Museum of Creation. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming today. I'd like to bring up a man who is very special to me, Pastor William Gallant.
It's truly an honor to be here on this historic day. Let's pray.
Dear Creator, God, and Savior, we ask you to bless this ministry. Use it to change lives and to bring many into a closer relationship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. And now, the director of this new museum, Jim Brennan.
Boy, we packed you in here like little sardines, haven't we? Well, I'm sure many of you have heard the story of how 4 years ago we discovered Hidden Cave and were introduced to the Park family. God is faithful, and you know, he works his plan regardless of circumstances or even of our shortcomings. And so I guess it's time to cut the ribbon. So I want to ask all the Park family and the Brennan family, come on up. Let's cut this thing together. Martha, Jesse, come on.
Come on up, Angela, Jonathan, Katie, come on.
Oh, right, 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 right. Right in front of me. There you go.
Can we all squeeze in up here?
Come on, Jesse and Ryan.
We're coming.
Oh. Come on in, Benjamin.
Wow. You've got it.
There you go.
These are our families who've stood with us. Okay, you guys, ready? Let's cut this thing on one, two, three. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brennan Museum of Creation is now open.
Please enter.
How's it going?
It's awesome. Everyone seems to be completely enjoying themselves. I just got done explaining to everyone about the evidence for the worldwide flood and how to excavate fossils, and now I'm letting them try their hand at it.
Dr. Benson, these fossils are all mixed up together, just like you said the flood would do.
You're right, sir. Oops, remembered to go lightly with that brush.
All right.
It looks like they're having fun.
I just had a little boy come up to me and tell me that he's been reading all these books about dinosaurs, but they all talk about evolution. He says that after coming out here, he realizes that dinosaurs were created with man, and that those books are wrong.
That's what we prayed would happen at this place.
Well, we've only been open 3 hours, and God's already made it worth it, in my opinion.
I agree. It's been worth it all. Zach, I came down here looking for Kendall. Do you know where he's at?
He's leading the first tour through the hidden cave.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, that's our bat that was caught in a stalagmite. We call it our bat-lagmite. Yes?
Yeah, it kind of gives you a little more faith to see all this evidence.
Well, thank you. You know, that's what we hoped this tour would do. Oh, and just a reminder, for those of you who haven't been through the main museum yet, be sure to take a tour with our director, Jim. Okay, if everyone can point your...
Okay, everyone. This is a brand new display we've added to our main museum collection. Now, to be honest, Nick Williams stayed up through the night preparing it for today's tours. This is a display of what we find at the Petrified Forest National Park in Arizona.
Interesting.
And we were just out there, and we saw again with our own eyes the overwhelming evidence of Noah's flood. Yes, sir?
Yes, excuse me for interrupting, but you said it was a worldwide flood?
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, I go to a church where the pastor has said that the flood was just local. I'm not so sure that I agree.
Lots of people believe that, but we would say that Scripture is quite clear. Do you remember what Genesis 7, 19 and 20 says? And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered.
Well, my pastor calls it a universal flood, but he says that there was just a local flood in the Mesopotamian Valley, and that it wiped out all the people that were living back then. Now, that's what he means by universal.
Well, I have a few answers for that. First of all, if God was going to send a local flood, why didn't he just have Noah, his family, and the animals migrate to a part of the world that wouldn't be affected by the flood? It would have taken much less time and effort than building that huge ark.
Good point.
But there's also lots of scientific evidence for the worldwide flood.
She's right. This museum, dinosaur graveyard, and cave are all jam-packed with evidence for the flood. So science completely agrees with the Bible's record of the Genesis flood.
Have you been to the graveyard yet?
No.
Oh, you gotta go. It's great.
Now, sir, I appreciate your question, and I hope that answers it.
Yeah, I really think it's given me a reason to reconsider what I've been taught.
Well, that's excellent, and to be honest, that's why we're here. Okay, now, if everyone can just move a little closer, let's take a look at this petrified forest display.
Hey, keeping the place looking nice, huh?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your stay at the Brennan Ranch.
Well, keep up the good work, kid.
I can't believe this day is finally here.
Yeah, we finally opened the museum.
Mm. Oh, yeah. We've been through a lot to get here.
That's for sure. We've been stuck in the cave twice, chased by bad guys, and been on some wild journeys.
Not to mention just dealing with trying to grow up.
Yeah. Serving him is an adventure.
And I can't think of anyone that I'd rather go through adventures with than you two.
Yeah, God has sure given us some special times.
Jonathan, I think you're getting sentimental in your old age.
Yeah, well, don't tell the guys. I'll never live it down. Well, should we take a tour of Hidden Cave for old time's sake?
Sounds good to me.
Sure, follow me.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Blazing Star. Although we've come to the end of one adventure, the journey continues at jonathanpark.com. On our site, you'll find more exciting adventures and additional resources that provide real scientific evidence for creation. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join the adventure in our next album as the Eagle's Nest breaks up in Jonathan Park and the Winds of Change.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.